Hello and welcome. This is Colleen O'Grady, the host of the Power Your Parenting Moms with Teens podcast. This is a gathering place for moms to be encouraged, nurtured, and inspired. Also, you'll learn the latest in teen research and trends and get practical parenting tips. You really can improve your relationship with your teen and enjoy the teenage years. Hello, welcome back everyone. This is the ninth episode of the Power Your Parenting Moms with Teens podcast. The title of our show today is, Could Your Teenager Be Sexting? Today I'll be interviewing Benjamin Dancer. Benjamin is an advisor at Jefferson County Open School, where he's made a career out of mentoring young people as they come of age. He wrote the novel Patriarch Run, a coming-of-age story. He also writes about parenting and education. And besides that, Benjamin's married and he has three children that are at the lake at this moment, and their ages range from 14 to 7. So he has a teenager himself. So Benjamin, I'm so glad that you're here today. So welcome.
Hi, Colleen. Thank you.
So today we're going to talk about a really important issue that catches so many parents unaware, which is, could your teenager be sexting? As many of you know, I'm the creator of the Power Your Parenting program, which helps moms reconnect with their teens and reclaim their life. And for the past 20 years, I've also seen clients as a marriage and family therapist in my private practice. I've seen many issues with teens over the past 20 years, but I have never seen anything like this sexting. It has become a huge problem. I think this year it's the number one reason why moms have brought their teens in to see me. And what I found is most of these girls were in middle school, and none of them, you know, went out and said, I think I'm going to go sex, but they just fell into it. They were naive and they felt pressured. So here are some statistics about sexting that came out in 2009. And what I've read is the statistics have not gotten any better. And I don't mean to be a downer, but I want you to be aware of the pressure that your teens are facing. So 22% of teen girls and 20% of teen boys have sent nude or semi-nude photos of themselves over the internet or their phones, which is like one in five. 38% of teens say exchanging sexy content makes dating or hooking up with others more likely. 29% of teens believe those exchanging sexy content are expected to date or hook up. The percent of teenagers sending or posting sexually suggestive messages, 39% of all teenagers, 37% are teen girls, and 40% are teen boys. 48% of teenagers say they have received such messages, so that's almost like half. 71% of teen girls and 67% of teen guys have sent or posted sexually suggestive content and have forwarded this content to another boyfriend or girlfriend. 51% of teen girls say pressure from a guy is a reason that they send these sexy messages or images. 52% of teen girls use sexting as a sexy present for their boyfriend. So I think that's enough of statistics. But the point is, if your child or your young teen or your big teen is using sexting, it's a huge problem in our culture. So Benjamin, what have you seen? What have you noticed in terms of this with your work with teens?
That was a great setup, Colleen. I guess I see the human side of those statistics, and it's devastating in any parent, and any adult who's worked with kids in this situation knows what that feels like. The participation rates are really, really high, and I wonder if that 20% might be underreported. 20%, one in five is high in itself, but I kind of feel like it's become Not only are kids pressured to do it, but I think they feel like it's the culture and it's the norm, especially with the new technology like Snapchat. Some kids feel like Snapchat is safe because the images get erased. For parents who don't know what that is, you can send pictures and they only last a few seconds for the receiver, and then they're supposedly deleted.
Right.
But what kids do is they take screenshots of those images, and then a naive middle school or high school girl who thought this thing was going to be deleted gets surprised to find out there's a screenshot taken, and then the pictures get passed around. And I think that's probably where it gets most devastating. This is where law enforcement gets involved. Sexting, where I live, is a crime, and is treated by law enforcement as child pornography. And so what often happens is the receiver of these images will distribute them.
Yeah.
Much to the horror of the girl and her family. And things get out of control as soon as you let images go like that on the internet or on the phone networks.
Right.
And law enforcement will get involved, and when they're involved, they can be really helpful because they'll track the images down, and they'll actually try to delete them off of every device on which they're found.
Oh, that's great.
And then they'll just try to get rid of it. They treat it like child pornography, and the distributor of the text, the girl, and the receiver of the text, the boy, and often it goes the other way. But both are treated as criminals.
Wow.
And they end up in court. They end up taking mandated classes. They'll end up on probation, and depending on what's taking place, the girl could be in as much trouble, or the sender of the message could be in as much trouble as the receiver of the message.
Wow.
So it becomes a really, really big deal.
I really don't think many parents understand that part of it.
Yeah, and it came as a shock to me, too. It was probably about 3 or 4 years ago when law enforcement started treating it that way. They just don't know what to do with it. There is an incredibly high rate of sexting, and the police are overwhelmed by it. And so they don't really have systems set up yet to handle it efficiently. And it's scary. It's really scary for these young girls or young boys to be treated like criminals.
Right.
They had no idea what they were getting into.
Especially, I have seen a lot of girls, like 6th, 7th, 8th grade, 9th grade, like this year. And they have felt pressured by this boy, and by the boys, and I've seen some of these texts. And it was really bullying.
Mm-hmm.
And these girls are naive. They don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. And so some of them thought, I'll send them a picture and then they won't, then they'll go away and they'll use something like Snapchat and think that that's it and we're done. But I've seen exactly what you said. And these pictures get forward not only throughout their school, but through a lot of the schools in Houston, where I'm from.
Yeah. So there's the problem in a nutshell, isn't it? So let's go back to when you and I were kids, and a lot of the parents listening were kids. I mean, we had, our prefrontal cortex was no more developed than the teenagers today.
Right.
We made all kinds of risky and stupid decisions. And in some of those, the consequences were pretty high. But there was not a permanent record. There wasn't a digital photograph that lived on forever.
Yeah.
You might have had to endure a couple weeks of embarrassment, gossip at school. People might have heard about what you did. But it wasn't preserved like it is today. And that's the heartbreaking part.
Yes. So
when these kids make the same decisions we made, but they're making it in the context of this technology, it's preserved. And so you've got these images being distributed in the whole community. Everybody in the school has now seen the picture, and they're talking about it, and they're sending it to other people. And this is cyberbullying at its worst.
Yeah.
It goes beyond language now, and there's a whole new dimension of shame attached.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. What I have really worked through with these girls is the shame. So much shame.
Yeah. Yeah, and that is, I mean, that's just painful to witness. I kind of think of it in terms of metaphor. We talk about being naked metaphorically.
Right.
But here these girls have done that to themselves quite literally, and they have to live with that. One of the things that I appreciate about law enforcement where I live is they get that, and they're very aggressive at tracking down what they can and collecting all these devices. They'll collect people's phones.
Wow.
And they'll get in there and they'll delete the images, and they'll try to find out where they've been passed to, and they'll aggressively go after it. But I think it would be naive to think that they could get every image. You know, once these things are out there, they're out there.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's ever taking it all back.
Right. So for the moms out there, you know, what age do you think sexting becomes an issue? Like, when should parents or moms really start paying attention?
Well, that's a great question. I think we all like to live in a little bit of denial about where our kids are at in terms of their sexual development. And so the answer is earlier than you think. You mentioned sixth grade girls. It happens a lot in middle school, 20% of middle school kids. I think you need to start having this conversation when you give your kids a cell phone, when you give them access to the computer. And depending on the age, you're going to offer you know, whatever details are appropriate in the conversation. But I think if your kid has access to a computer or a cell phone, you need to be educating them about images and about people requesting inappropriate things from them.
That's such a good point. And I really like what you say about earlier than you think, because that's, when I'm talking to the moms, it's, they can't believe it.
Yeah.
They just can't believe it. And I think another thing that I see is that parents just don't think about, because they just, their imagination doesn't go there, but when their kids go to sleep, what they're going to be doing with their cell phones.
The cell phone is kind of an insidious device. You've got this, I mean, those are designed to be as easy as possible. In other words, I can take an image of anything I want as quickly as I want and send it anywhere in the world almost effortlessly.
Right.
And we're putting that in the hands of kids without a prefrontal cortex, or a very undeveloped one, hormones raging. A lot of them have a huge desire to fit in, and sexting has become the norm to fit in, unfortunately.
Right.
And I just think it's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. And these boys, and because I'm seeing a lot of girls, but and these boys will say to these girls, if you really like me, if you want to take our relationship deeper to another level, then you will send me a picture.
So
sometimes it's a threat, but part of the threat is the loss of their relationship with this boy they really like.
And there's a whole lot of issues under that. I mean, I just, as a rule, if I were, I think I feel really safe telling parents to tell their kids never. You know, you never send those images.
Yeah.
And it would be really, really nice if the kid felt like they could talk to you. You know, if your daughter was getting that sort of bullying, the hope would be that she'd be able to talk to you about it. But I understand that's not really realistic for a lot of kids.
Right. Well, and that kind of leads me to my next question, which is, what can moms do to educate their sons or daughters about this?
So I think the absolute rule, never send inappropriate images. I can't think of a single way that could come out good for a kid. You know, it's never going to come out good. And so I think that's a good bottom line. And if somebody wants that from you, you don't want to be with a kid like that. That's not the boyfriend you want. That's not the person you want to be with if they're going to pressure and bully you.
Yeah.
And so I think those are good messages. I think it's totally appropriate for moms to let kids know that the cell phone isn't private, that the computer isn't private, that the email isn't private.
Yeah.
And if you set those ground rules going in, that mom or dad will be checking emails or phones to see what's on there. I think those are appropriate boundaries, just making sure the kid's aware of that and they know that you'll be looking. A lot of the kids who have gotten into trouble or who have been saved, rather, it's been because mom looked at the cell phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And mom had a rule that that's not private. And so the kid certainly was angry. It certainly stressed the relationship in the moment. But that type of intervention pulls these kids out of the abusive relationship. And that's exactly what we're describing. It's just another form of an abusive relationship.
That's wonderful. And I would add to that, I think that's awesome. And what I would add to that is, because what I do in my program and my work is I really focus on how to build a healthy attachment with your daughter. And so part of it is kind of making it a conversation, like you were saying, like, you know, when we were teenagers, we did some crazy stuff, but it wasn't permanent.
Yeah.
Just even having that conversation with your daughter.
Yeah.
One of the things that I see with these girls is they don't know, like, what to do, and so then, or what to say. And so sometimes, like, if a mom can kind of have a conversation, like, you know, this stuff's happening and it's coming your way, and, you know, here's some ways you could handle it.
Hmm.
You know, I've known some girls who just like, that's happened to my daughter, and so she would take a picture of a dog and send it back, or a dark room. So she would respond with humor.
Hmm.
And
that's great.
Yeah, I think that's actually a pretty good, like, that's absurd, and you get an absurd reaction, you know.
Well, I think you just took us to the root problem. If we can look at sexting as a symptom.
Hmm.
What's the root cause? Why would a kid be in an abusive relationship like that? I think the cure-all or the silver bullet is just what you said, a healthy attachment. In my piece, Sexting at School, what I did in that story is I took a composite of a whole bunch of kids and a whole bunch of moms, and just kind of put some common themes together in a story about a kid getting caught up in sexting. And in that story, the police are involved, the mom's at her wit's end. She's feeling guilty. What have I done wrong? She's feeling powerless. She can't protect her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And where I go in that story is to the root cause. And under all that, there's a relationship between parent and child. And that's the most fundamental thing to nurture.
Right.
To be open with your child, to have an attachment with your child, so that your child feels safe. They feel like they belong somewhere, and they feel secure in that parent relationship. And perhaps, and I'm not going to say that it would never happen, but perhaps if the child's secure in their relationship at home, they won't be engaged in as risky of behaviors trying to find community elsewhere.
Right. But I think I agree with that, but I also think that undeveloped prefrontal cortex is it just takes like one moment for them. That's what I'm talking to these girls. It's they said no, 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 no. And just one impulsive moment, they go, yeah.
Yep. That's all it takes, isn't it?
You know, and one thing I would say to moms, and I am one of those things as mom, as a mom. And what I know is that it's so easy for you moms who, if you see that text or you see that picture, it's easy to completely go ballistic and totally freak out because you can't believe she did that. That's your child. How could she make that decision? You know the implications of that, and it's easy just to want to tear her limb from limb.
Yes.
And so I would really recommend, that's why I shared the statistics, to know this is like really hard stuff for your teen to know how to manage. And so what I would say is, you know, call a friend, you know, talk to your husband, you know, like get your freak out.
Yes.
So that your daughter doesn't get that first line reaction.
That's such good advice. That takes me right back to what you said earlier about attachment. What I know about human behavior is that none of us respond well to being attacked or to anger.
Right.
And if you want to reach your kid, no matter how stupid her decision or his decision is, you need to have empathy.
Right.
And when we approach our kids with empathy and we really, really work to understand and know them, they feel safe. And we need to feel safe. We're not going to grow as people. We're not going to be able to hear and listen and make changes unless we feel safe.
Yeah.
And empathy is, I think, the most important thing we have to offer.
You know, and the ironic thing, and I have felt this in my own body as a parent, but it's like, is we freak out, and because our child is not safe, but then they don't feel safe with us, so it's this huge trap.
And then it's just we none of us can get out of our rut and change our behavior and grow, you know, unless we're safe. That's just the way we're wired. So it's almost as if we make the problem worse. If we become unglued and start calling our kids stupid, that's the common language I hear, I think we're reinforcing the problem and we don't even know it.
Right. So that brings me kind of to the last question is, what should parents do if they suspect or know that their son or daughter is sexting?
I think the advice you gave earlier is really good, and that's, you know, we hear it takes the village.
Yeah.
I think you bring in people you trust, and you get your freak out. You get advice. Maybe there are mentors in your child's life that are safe to bring into the situation, but you have to intervene, and you intervene with empathy, you intervene with compassion, and you intervene with strength, because these middle school girls, these high school girls, they are so far out of their element. They need help. And so I think it's appropriate to be in the phone. I think it's appropriate to be in the email. And every action we take is with empathy.
Yeah.
If these pictures have been distributed, as they often are, because that's often what happens when somebody receives them, these images, they send them to their friends and they send them to their friends. And then the problem just escalates.
Yeah.
So I think it's a heavy decision whether or not to involve the police. And I think police in every jurisdiction handle this differently. And I think you need to get in contact with somebody who knows how it's going to be handled.
Right.
I think if the police can help in tracking down and deleting the images, that's a really attractive reason to involve them.
Yeah.
But where I live, your kid's going to end up in court. Your kid's going to be charged as a sex offender. And a lot of times the girls end up on probation, and if they get through their probation without another offense, then everything goes away. So it's not without risk to involve the police. You bring in an organization in and you lose a little bit of your autonomy.
Yeah.
Consider involving the school.
Yeah.
And I would weigh that decision in the same way. I think there are some really wonderful school communities that treat kids with compassion and empathy and have a lot of expertise in these issues. And I can imagine some school administrations that might make your problem worse.
Right, right.
So I think those are heavy decisions about who you bring in and who you involve. But the school resource and the police resource, I've seen both used very effectively. And at the school where I work, I think we do a really great job of protecting kids.
Mm, that's awesome. Yes, a lot of the girls that I've seen in my private practice, it came out through the school because the teachers got wind of these pictures going around, and the parents mm-hmm. were completely in the dark about it.
And there's just reminded me of an important issue. We as teachers and counselors, we have expertise in this issue because we see it every day.
Mm, yeah.
And mom and dad have seen it for the first time. So I think it's a really good idea to look for teachers, administrators, counselors that you trust and bring them in.
Right, right. And one thing that I will say to moms, if you have either a son or daughter who have done the sexting, is there is life on the other side of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not ruined forever. I mean, you want to take this seriously, but you know, I've worked with lots of these girls in my private practice, and you know, just being able to have those empathic conversations like you're talking about, they have learned a lot.
Yeah.
And they've learned what an abusive relationship is.
Yes. Yes. And there's empowerment there. I see that all the time too. In the story I wrote, it kind of follows, that narrative thread because it's so common. It's an abusive relationship. The kid doesn't want out oftentimes. The
mm-hmm.
kid knows it's bad. The kid knows they're being abused and there's an addiction there. And it's heartbreaking to watch. And one of the things I think we do as adults is we listen to our kids with empathy, with compassion, and we try to understand why, you know, why does the kid need this? Or why does the kid think they need this? Mm-hmm. What is the underlying issue? And through very gentle conversations, over time, the kid gets it. But it requires patience. I've never worked with a kid that just snapped out of it, that heard the truth and said, oh, yeah, you're right. This is stupid. I'm going to stop. That does not happen. The kid slowly takes it in, slowly grows. And then when she looks back, she can't believe who she was. She can't believe what she was involved in. And she'll never do it again. We all had that learning curve in relationships as we were growing up, you know, what it means to find a healthy relationship and, you know, and things we would never do again. And kids today are just as resilient as we were when we were young.
That is a great point, that it is a process. It's not just a one time, okay, I won't do it. There's lots of layers for these kids to kind of look at.
Yes. And that creates all kinds of dilemmas for mom and dad.
Yeah.
One of the issues the parent in my story wrestles with is how much control does she take over her daughter's life? Does she reach in and save her absolutely? And those are really tough questions. And every kid's different, and every kid needs a different amount of parental control versus, you know, freedom in their personal life, depending on where that kid is. And those, that's an issue I really tackle in the analysis of that story, is how much freedom do you give the kid? When do you let them make the mistake because they have to make it? And when do you step in and save them because the risks are just too great?
Right. That is a great point, because there are some external controls, but ultimately and ideally is what you want is that shift to be inside of your teen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that is going to take a little time.
Now, when it comes to sexting, if I knew that my daughter was sending images, I think that's a perfect example of when you step in and you take control.
Yeah.
And you take the phone, you protect her from, she cannot contemplate the magnitude of those consequences.
Right.
But you can't control who she talks to at school. You can't control whether or not she sneaks in a conversation with the boy, or whether or not she still has strong feelings with the boy. Your powers are limited. But I would feel really comfortable taking away the device that was allowing her to send those images.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this has been great, and I am so thankful, Benjamin, for your time. And if you would like to more from Benjamin, his website is benjamindancer.com. And he has a blog at benjamindancer.com/blog. And Benjamin mentioned his, it's actually a chapter in a book you're writing, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
You want to talk a little bit about that and how they could get a copy of that the chapter?
Sure. It's called Sexting at School. It's a brief narrative that highlights common problems moms and daughters find themselves in around this issue. It's a mother-daughter piece. It's about how to have a relationship with your teenage daughter. And after the story, I give a thorough analysis about the decisions the parent has to make, and just kind of guiding parents through the important things to think about. You can download that story for free at Goodreads. You can look for me at Goodreads and download the whole thing for free. It's also available on Amazon for 99 cents. You can look up my name or Sexting at School. And I think it's a great little piece that helps frame the issues we've been discussing here.
Okay, that is awesome. And I will also put that on my website in case you who are listening don't have a pen and can't write that down. Just go to ColleenO'Grady.com /podcasts, and you'll see those links there. So, Benjamin, thank you so much. And I know this is going to be really, really helpful to many, many moms, not only in the United States, but all over the world.
Thanks, Colleen. I really enjoyed the conversation.
All right. You have a good day.
You too.